You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left. Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup! Lightning strikes twice! The Tampa Bay Lightning win their second straight Stanley Cup!
Hello everybody and welcome back to this Gasparilla edition of RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me is Pirate Joe Zamataro, and we got Michael Wax with us, who's rocking the Gasparilla merch as well. You can't see it right there, but he's got it on as well. Guys, welcome back to the show. We are days away from Gasparilla. Getting excited over here in Tampa Bay. Joe, I'll start with you. How you doing today?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the best time to be in Tampa. I'm doing great, and I just obviously kind of get into the festivities that surround Gasparilla and everything that goes on with it. I'm doing wonderful, man.
Michael, how about you?
I mean, I can't say anything that Joe hasn't said already. This is the best time of the year. And for the Lightning, it has been a really good time as well. So I can't wait to get into that.
We got an action-packed episode coming up for you guys today. We'll be recapping all of the games. We'll take a look at their upcoming schedule. We'll take a preview, look into the All-Star game coming up, which Nikita Kucherov will be attending for the Lightning in Toronto with some of the ugliest jerseys that I've ever seen. But I digress from there. It's going to be a fun episode, so make sure you like and subscribe so you don't miss out on these episodes. And you can go check out the older ones as well in case you missed any of those right here on YouTube or wherever you may get your podcast. All right, guys, let's jump right into it. Take a look at some of the games. Michael, you kind of alluded to it. It was a great week for the Lightning. They, you know, we talked about they needed to turn things around. They needed to get that better. They're having the process, but they were not getting the outcome. And ever since that halfway mark of the season, the Lightning have been playing very well. They started things off with a 7-3 victory against the Minnesota Wild. Now, the Wild have not the best team in the NHL, but the offense really showed up in this one. Power play going 3-for-3. Special teams was great because the penalty kill as well, 2-for-2. But the Lightning dominate the Minnesota Wild and starting off right with a big win. Michael, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on this game against the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, I thought they played great. Shout out to Valtteri Merla, finally getting that first NHL goal. Someone who I have believed in for a while. He had a really nice stint in Syracuse before he got recalled, and he's been playing a lot better. It's not just the goal. It was the way that he's been playing all 200 feet of the ice. Overall, anytime that you can pot seven, that is great to see. One of our cherished memories this season was the game where they set the NHL record for shooting percentage in a game where they had 8 goals. In that game, they only had 14 shots. Like, they got vastly outplayed, but nobody remembers that because they put up 8 goals. In this one, they were the better team. They took it to the Wild. Dare I say it was their best game over this 4-game stretch, because it really did feel like they controlled the majority of this one. And it never seemed like the Wild were close to tying it. They came close a couple times, but it never really seemed like they were going to, after the 2-1 goal, really get back into the game.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the Wild weren't coming back into the game, but they had a couple of really long stretches where they hemmed Lightning in their end. And I also think that they kind of exposed the system a little bit with illustrating different ways that you can beat this new zone coverage. In particular, if you have puck possession on the strong side of the ice and you send it to the weak side, there's usually gaps and soft areas. Luckily, Minnesota was really bad at being able to get their shots off. They weren't very good at all with shooting one-timers, especially, or really just collecting the puck and getting off a fast shot in order to capitalize on those chances. But there was a lot of space for them to move the puck around quickly. And I'd say in particular, Hagel Point and Sorelli were pretty brutal defensively, allowing really all three of the goals against were pretty much on their watch. And, you know, it's, you can always improve on things. Once you find those sort of weaknesses, you can address them. And, it, you know, it seems like something that they kind of did throughout the rest of the week there. But it was a game I was lucky enough to go to in person. Matt Gannon had an extra ticket, so it's always fun to watch those ones live.
Yeah, of course. And Baker Mayfield was in the house for this game, and the Lightning put up a touchdown. I believe that was in his honor, I think, you know, getting the Bucks ready for their next playoff game. But listen, this was a 4-3 game going into the third period. And the third period is where the Lightning really broke out offensively. They got those couple of power play goals from Steven Stamkos as well. Mikey Esiamont even got one on the power play. This one finally wasn't called back, so he actually did get on the score sheet. So nice for him. Nikita Kucherov, another 3-point night for him. I mean, this guy, unbelievable. And once again, his magic on the power play continued to work in this game. So the third period was a big one for them to really pull away and make that final score look a lot better than probably the score was looking in the second period.
Speaking on Cooch, he also had another breakaway, which he wasn't able to convert on. And that starting to kind of become a thing for him where, you know, he'll get these chances and then not be able to finish them.
It's like the only negative thing you could say about him this year, though. Like
I'm digging.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. And it's funny, you got Nikita Kucherov, who just for some reason is snake bitten on those penalty shots or breakaways slash penalty shots. And then you got Brandon Hagel, who feels like he scores every single time on those. So maybe Hagel should give Cooch a pointer on those, and Cooch can give him some pointers back on just general play. Maybe they can really take the league by storm if those two work together. Who knows? All right, let's go ahead and take a look at our next game. Lightning then heading against taking on the Buffalo Sabres, starting off their short mini road trip here. And the Lightning come away with another big win. 3-1 is your final score. A much slower game than the Minnesota game with not a lot of goals, obviously. But the Lightning defense, I think, looked the best it has in quite a while in this game. Obviously, you get the big only one goal surrendered. That always looks good. No matter what, but it just felt like a solid defensive game. Power play couldn't get much going on this one, but one of the big stories in this game is Tyler Mott scoring a shorthanded goal early in the first period, something you don't see every day, but the Lightning have been scoring a couple of shorthanded goals recently too, which has been nice to see. Joe, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on this game in Buffalo.
And an important goal, because that was the game-winning goal that Tyler Mott scored there shorthanded, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, no, it was. And Johansson was in net for one of his rare appearances. I think they said that it was something like 20 days since the last time he had played something.
Does not play often.
Yeah, something around that. And he was really, really sharp. He made some outstanding saves. The first goal, you know, it was much... I can talk badly about Sorelli for the previous game. He was really sharp on the forecheck, generated a turnover, which created the opportunity for the first goal. Turned over the puck on a forecheck, got it over to Hagel. Hagel to Paul for the one-timer and into the back of the net. He was doing some good stuff on the forecheck in that one for sure. And then really that third period was just holding on for dear life and bending but not breaking. And luckily, JoJo played great and kept the Bolts ahead on the scoreboard.
Yeah, it was one of those games. And again, the Flyers game later, we'll get to it, where the Lightning get out to that multi-goal lead. And you think, okay, like this is going to be a relatively easy night. Second and third period, really not that good. Like, I thought the Lightning played okay to the point where they were limiting the Sabres like a bit. Like I didn't think that Johansson had to make out of the, what was it, 15, 19 shots they had to face in the third period. He didn't have to make like a ton of big saves because a lot of those were to the outside, or the Sabres were like missing on their chances. But there were a couple. Like I think the save he made on Tuck on the breakaway with about a minute and a half in, that goes in. The Lightning are probably losing this game. Like, just because the Sabres had all of that momentum, the Lightning weren't getting any shots during that third period. They had two. One of them went in, and it was the empty net goal. So they were getting outshot like 19-1 before that happened. And I'm happy to say, like, Johansson played very well. I was skeptical of him going from starter to backup. And he, in the past two games he's played, which was New Year's Eve against Montreal and then this one against Buffalo, he's played very well.
Yeah, that's something that makes it even more impressive to me with Johansson is that, you know, he's not, it's not that he's only moved to a backup role. He is not playing often. I mean, he's got extended time off, and that can be difficult for some players to having that much time off. Sometimes you can, you know, we always talk about the debate versus rest versus rust. It kind of goes that with backup goalies too, right? They're so much time off, some of them less than others, but Johansson, a ton of time off, and he still has come in every single appearance that he's had as a backup goaltender and played really, really solid hockey.
He's been one of the highlights, I think, of the season, one of the unexpected people that came out and really showed something new, kind of like we saw said with Perbix all of last season. For me, Johansson's really the surprise player to come into the system and really show something that you weren't expecting.
Five in a row for the Tampa Bay Lightning after this win. And thank goodness Andre Vasilevsky came back for Detroit, because holy cow, did he have to make some unbelievable saves in this game. Now, the Lightning unfortunately lose to the Red Wings by a final score of 2-1. It was a tough day for Tampa in Detroit, with the Bucks also losing to the Lions. But listen, the Vasilevsky made unbelievable saves, and I think that's the main part we probably want to highlight in this one, because if it wasn't for Andre Vasilevsky, this game probably could have been 7-3, and there were some great saves being made on the other end of the ice too by the Detroit goaltender when the Lightning were really pushing in that third period. But just some, I don't know if there was some voodoo magic going on in this game, some pirate magic, I don't know what it was, but crazy saves on both ends in this game.
I don't think it was pirate magic. I think that probably would have worked in our favor for if that was the case. But I thought this game was going to go the other way with the way that the Lightning started with their first goal, where it was just, I think it went Hedman to Kucherov, back to Hedman, back to Kucherov, and then Kucherov back over to Hedman for a one-timer into the back of the net. And that was scored just about halfway through the first period. If they would have continued that sort of play, I expected a pretty dominant performance, but you know, ultimately it wasn't to be, even though they got a ton of chances and really, really pressed hard in the third period. Kind of felt like the second half of the first period and the entire second period was really Detroit's show. Looking at the numbers, in the first period, the Bolts got 5 shots on goal. Detroit had 12. In the second period, Lightning had 5 shots on goal. Detroit had 19. So they really got a significant number of shots over the Lightning. And then third period kind of went the other way, where the Bolts had a lot of pressure with 18 shots to Detroit's 4.
Yeah, I mean, they played well in the third. But again, this is going back to, you know, early in the season, November, December. They are terrible in the second period. I think we saw that on the road. They were bad in all 3 second periods on the road on this road trip. This was the worst one. Andre Vasilevsky only allowing 1 goal seems like a miracle in that period. And then that glove save that he made, I don't remember who he made it on. Does not matter. That's a save of the year candidate. Like he's going one way, and they pass it cross crease. He goes back the other way, and then they decide, actually, we're going to put it into the slot area. And he somehow finds it, not even in his glove, but right on the edge of his wrist to keep that puck out. Just an unbelievable save. And that's why he's the best in the world. I was telling Jake during one of our off days that, oh, the Lightning know that Vasilevsky is healthy again, so they're going to make him make 3-4 unbelievable saves a game now that he's actually recovered. So they weren't great. Ultimately, it's the only game that they lost during this week and a half. So I guess you can, like, forgive it. But Cooper was not happy after that game, and for good reason. They did not play great.
And if you're going to lean on your goaltender like that, you got to do him the service of putting some pucks in the net. And if they lack something, drive defensively where they're just not going to get back or blow some coverage, make Vasi work extra hard, it better be for taking some offensive chances where they actually are going to put some numbers up on the board. And unfortunately, for the first two periods where it really mattered, that wasn't the case, because we saw the Red Wings go up by two goals during that, about 30 minutes of play where they weren't doing too well, and they weren't able to overcome it. And you got to feel for Vasi to have such an outstanding performance and basically come up empty-handed for it.
I hope the team bought him a steak dinner after that one and the performance that he put up. I mean, you didn't get after all that offense the Lightning had all week too, and it just, you couldn't get and they did have a lot of great chances late in that third period, but the puck just was not going their way. And I think another reason Cooper was really frustrated with this game, the Lightning won 5 straight. You're going to expect to drop one eventually. You can't win every single game. But this was against Detroit, the team who is sitting right neck and neck with the Lightning in that wild card race right now. So this is a massive 2-point swing, really kind of a 4-point swing when you think about it, with the 2 points going both ways. But so this was a big game for the Lightning when it comes to that divisional race. And as we all know, we've talked about it before on the show, the Lightning are ahead in games played still on a lot of different teams. So yes, they're sitting in a divisional spot right now, but that can be a little bit deceiving. It was a big 2 points the Lightning could have taken from this game, and it felt like they kind of let it slip away, because like you mentioned, Joe, they got off to a great start. They got a 1-0 early lead. It looked great. And then everything kind of just fizzled apart. Credit to Detroit, who played a great game in this one, but just kind of an unfortunate timing when it comes to who they were playing and how big these 2 points were in this game. Now, the good news for the Bolts is they bounced back in a big way against the Philadelphia Flyers, picking up another win and getting back on that win streak. So a successful road trip, which is not something we've seen a lot from the Lightning this year, but they win this one 6-3 and call this one again the Nikita Kucherov show, who is basically factoring in on almost every single goal. He was unbelievable again tonight. He picks up only his 5th career hat trick, by the way, which, you know, for a guy like him, you might expect it to be a little higher almost, but his 5th career hat trick. 3 goals on this one. He hadn't scored in a while. Michael, you said it in the Bolt Report's pregame video short that we do. And you said, hey, Kucherov hasn't scored yet. Well, he scored 3 this time and comes through in a big way. Lightning getting the win. I think we kind of alluded to a little bit of a bend but don't break mentality a couple of times late in this game, but they got the win. Again, you know, maybe the process wasn't perfect, but they're getting the results as of late, which has been really helpful ever since this second half start of the season. Joe, how are you feeling watching Nikita Kucherov working his magic in this one?
Oh, it's always great to see Kuch score. I mean, he's a guy that's typically been pass first, but he's had such good luck shooting that, keep it up. He's still up there in third right now in the league. So he's slipped a little bit compared to Austin Matthews, and I think Pasta's the other one that's got him beat, but he's still lighting the lamp and putting 3 ins, keeping him on the top of the stats for overall points as well. This was a game, though, that the Flyers really showed some heart, and it's something that I wish the Lightning would show a little bit more often in order to close out some games where you're down by 3 goals and the Flyers never gave up. They ended up coming back and scoring 2 to close it within 1, but it never really quite felt like it was within reach, in my opinion, for the Flyers. However, they didn't stop battling, and that's something that you kind of expect out of a Tortorella coached team as well. It was obviously fun to watch Kuch run his magic. Vasi got a little bit of bad luck, but there was also, again, the second goal that went in for the Flyers illustrated the point that I was trying to make with the Minnesota Wild game, where it was, again, a puck that went from strong side of the ice over to the weak for a quick shot, and no one was there covering a guy because he was kind of on the backside of their coverage, found a soft spot and where they're positioned. Outside of that, though, I mean, it really was a game where you just get to celebrate over and over and over again for the Bolts.
Yeah, not to make this all about Nikita Kucherov, but some stats real quick. 301 power play points now after three, or was it two? It might have been two in that game. He's now second all-time in Lightning history, passing Marty St. Louis, who had 300 on the dot. The seven 30-goal seasons, Nikita Kucherov is second all-time in that. One behind Steven Stamkos, who has eight, which is impressive because even though Stamkos has missed all this time, Kucherov has been in the league six less seasons than Stamkos. That is crazy to me, which is, you know, Joe had mentioned it. We think of him as a past first guy. His assist in this one was insane. You know, taking that power play Hedman shot off the boards, immediately one touching it onto the stick of Mikey Acemont. Like, and Acemont was right there for this to happen. For someone who, I'm not going to say relied on the bumper play last season for his points, but Kucherov and Point very much had a connection on the bumper play during the power play. They don't have that this year. So Kucherov is really trying to find a new way to make things work. And I think quick thinking wise, he made a new type of, you know, pass it into the slot, get that guy that's in the bumper position an opportunity to score. Because again, not only is he someone different, but he also has different handedness. Like Point is a right-hand shot, Acemont's a left-hand shot. So just get him in a perfect position to redirect that puck. His hockey IQ is off the charts. I was a little less optimistic than Joe that the Flyers were going to tie the game, especially after back-to-back goals. But, you know, after the Acemont power play goal went in, I think I, you know, calmed down a little bit. I think that was the thing that really put that over the edge of, okay, the Lightning are actually going to get this one. And only a baseball-style goal from Cam York was the only thing that beat Vasilevskiy for the rest of the game.
Well, and incredible balance and I mean, great eye-hand coordination.
Wild.
It really was. And speaking of assist, how about Crozier, who got his first NHL point in this game off a beautiful, kind of like a shot pass almost, you know, Nikita Kucherov rubbing off on some other players. Point got the goal on that one. But a great, you know, we talked about some of these young guys that a lot of different young players step up for the Lightning. And all of them have played, you know, pretty darn well, I think, for the most part. And Crozier gets awarded with his first NHL point, and it was a nice, solid play from him. Him and Lillenberg both, I thought, looked really solid in this game once again. It's been really nice to see the Lightning defensemen step up these young guys right now.
I think it says something. Sorry, Joe. I think it says something that Cernak is ready to come back tomorrow against the Coyotes, and they sent down Myers. They didn't send down Crozier. So I don't know if he's going to be your plug-and-play seventh defenseman or if he's going to find his way into the lineup otherwise. But, you know, not giving him Syracuse minutes, trusting him on the main roster, I think it says a lot that they have a lot of trust in him and Lilleberg. And Lilleberg's not coming out of the lineup until Sergachev comes back. Like, that's very much not in question. And even when Sergachev comes back, Calvin DeHaan has not played great recently. So maybe Lilleberg has found his permanent place. I don't know. But Joe,
you had I don't disagree with that. I've been super high on Lilleberg. He's been playing outstanding. When you're at a game live, you can pay a little bit more attention to individual players because you're not bound to the confines of where the camera is currently panning. You can see stuff that they're doing that, you know, would otherwise be off screen or just not a major focus. And in that Wild game, you know, Lilleberg was in on so many different pieces of the play that weren't necessarily at the forefront of what was happening, but made significant impacts while he's on the ice. I love this kid. I think he's going to be someone that hopefully he can make it stick for the rest of the season. That's really tough to do as a defensive rookie. But Myers got just under 6 minutes of ice time total in that Flyers game. And then Lillibird got, you know, just under 17 minutes. So they've definitely been giving him quite a bit of ice time. That's, you know, that's wow. right there with DeHaan. DeHaan got like one shift more than Lillibird. So, you know, we've kind of wondered what happens when we have injuries to the Lightning and if there's enough depth for the team. And I mean, Crozier playing well, getting that beautiful assist, and Lillibird also, you know, he was a plus one on that as well. It's good to see, and it shows up that we've got plenty of talent on the Lightning farm system.
So yeah, nice. You know, they played 11-7 against Philly, and immediately Austin Watson gets hurt, and he's out week to week now. Or they played 11-7 because of the Austin Watson injury. So I'm interested to see how this lineup shakes out over the next 2 weeks until they get back to some full strength. Please. Like, we've had enough injuries. Please.
I mean, they've been playing pretty well this last little stretch.
Yeah, they've won 5 or 6 out of their last 7. They're hot right now. There's no question about that. And if you want to get some new merch hot off the press, I know a great place where you can go. Heading over to shop.rblrsports.com. Got awesome team-inspired merch from the Rays, the Lightning, the Bucks, the Rowdies. And you can use code BOLTS for 10% off your order as well, just for you guys for listening to our show each and every week. Again, shop.rblrsports.com. Links, as always, are in the description. Be sure you head over there and check it out and get some new merch. You get ready for the second half of the season after the All-Star break coming up here in just a little bit. All right, guys, let's go to our 3 stars of the week. And, you know, this week it was almost a little tough to make the picks because there were so many guys that played some great hockey. But really, the big guy stepped up in a big way. The number 3 star this week goes to Braden Point. He gets our 3rd star. He played some great hockey overall. He finished the week with 2 goals, 4 assists, and 6 points. He was even on the plus and minus scale, but a good week from Braden Point. Michael, your thoughts on the man himself, who is unfortunately not going to get another shot at the fastest skater competition in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty good this week for the most part. Like Joe had mentioned, he struggled defensively, especially against Minnesota, but in that game he did put up 3 points. Like, it's a give and take with him. It's a give and take with the entire first line. I think, you know, you take the defensive warts of Kucherov, Point, Hagel, whoever is rotating on that left wing spot for that first line. Ultimately, for the rest of the time, he did a fine job. I would say that his time against the Flyers was also a little iffy, but again, he scored a goal. Like, if you can have somebody, we really do need to get a second guy that has more than 50 points. Like, Kucherov leads the league with 80, and he is 30 points up on the next closest, which is Braden Point. So, like, I think Pointer needs to do a little bit more, which is crazy to say because he's averaging a point per game, but you're playing with the best player in the world. So not to say that he should sacrifice some of his defense because he is already doing that, but being in better positions to score would be optimal, I think. So, you know, 3rd star of the week, he's got the talent to be the 1st star of the week on a lot of occasions, and you know, he's not quite there this season, I don't think.
I mean, maybe he's turning a little bit of a corner because, you know, getting 6 points in 4 games and continuing a pace that's starting to rise that point tally is something to actually be commended for. And while he didn't have the best defensive game against Minnesota and some of his points were almost a kind of sheer luck, the fact that he got him at all is still commendable. And like I said, hopefully this is him starting to make a turn towards being more productive.
We talked about it last week and saying that hopefully Point can turn a little bit of a corner and get some more production up. And he did that this week, even though if the defense was a little bit there, hey, you got 6 points. That is always going to be super helpful in games and helps you win games. That's why he gets the third star of the week. Going to the number two guy, though, this was a guy who was great defensively and he was great offensively. And that goes to the big Swede himself, Victor Hedman. It's fitting that he's the second star right before Gasparilla, because he's the one that dressed up and was looking amazing like a pirate back when the All-Star game was in Tampa that one year, him and Erik Karlsson. That's when all those trade rumors, too, with Erik Karlsson. We're having fun with that. But Hedman, 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points as well. And he was a +5 this week. So some really great stuff from Victor Hedman, stepping up in a big way for the Lightning D-Core. Joe, your thoughts on our favorite Gasparilla Pirate?
Hedy was a monster in Minnesota, or against Minnesota. There was one play that I know that Matt didn't like, the breakaway that he was on the guy's heels, but you know, he did a good job to not take a penalty and make sure that there was no chance at somebody coming in for a rebound. He still had a goal and 3 assists. That's a monster night. And then the rest of his stats look solid for the other 3 games as well. You know, he's somebody that also we were talking about the points being a little bit low for this season, and seems like he's starting to come around as well.
Yeah, three power play assists for Hedy and 2 even strength goals. I know that we've seen a resurgence in the defense recently of them scoring, and he has been at the forefront of that. It's him, Radish, and everybody else. But you know, your best defenders, your best players have to be your best players, and your best defenders have to be the ones that are leading the charge. And he was really good over the past week and a half. I know Matt wasn't a huge fan of that play, but other than that, I thought he played pretty well this week. And there weren't a ton of things where you could point to them defensively or offensively and say, you know, I wish he would have done stuff differently. There were maybe like one or two over a 4-game stretch, which is good to see out of someone who, he's never going to be the most physical player, but he's always technical and he's always smart with or without the puck. And so if you're getting those types of plays, then you have a better shot than not of winning, because, you know, the Lightning have been winning. So it's good to see.
Well, I think we're going to have to rename our 3 stars of the week to just Nikita Kucherov 3 stars of the week, because he's once again the first star for the Bolts. We talked about 80 points on the season. You know, yeah, he's not up there in goals. He fell a little bit behind, you know, guys like Austin Matthews, but he's one of the only players that's leading in almost every single category. He's in the top two, I think, for all of them, leading in points. He's right there with assists, and he's up there in goals as well. The thing that impresses me most with Nikita Kucherov, and we saw it a lot this week, and Ross Colton said this back when he scored that goal against the Florida Panthers in the playoffs, is you have to be ready to get the puck at any time when Nikita Kucherov is on the ice. And there are so many times where guys he plays with all the time, they are not ready for him to pass the puck to him, and he will find a way to put that puck in a fantastic scoring chance. And half the time, the guys aren't even ready for it. That's how good he is. That's how much of a magician he is. It is so amazing to watch. We are truly seeing greatness right now. Joe, what do you think about Nikita Kucherov?
I mean, we've said it all over and over again. Kucherov really went Kucherov this week. Kucherov. And that's, you know, this week he actually brings his plus minus out of the negatives and is into the positives, which, you know, we've talked about at length how much the Lightning have struggled to keep the puck out of their own net, mostly from the defensive structural standpoint, rather than it being from bad goaltending or defensemen making bad reads. So it's, you know, great kind of milestone in the season where he's now positive for his plus minus. Another thing that sticks out to me in these 3 games that he played is his time on ice. He had a significant amount of time on ice for the Detroit game and for the Philadelphia game, both being like over 24 minutes and over 25 minutes. And then the Buffalo game, he had just under 20 minutes, where, you know, it's kind of one of his low amount minutes on ice for this season, actually. He's playing a lot of hockey, and he's playing really well. I hope that he continues at that pace. If you look at the NHL edge stats, he also has, like, by far the most amount of distance skated on the team, which isn't a stat that you would necessarily think of for Kucherov, because you can think of him as being lackadaisical in a lot of aspects, but he's flying all over the ice. So his legs are working well for him right now. And if he continues this sort of a pace, then, you know, anything's possible, especially somebody being named an MVP.
Yeah. Nikita Kucherov, over his last, I know we're only talking about the last four games, over his last eight games, 16 points. Over his last seven games, he has more three-point games than he does scoreless games. So
that's incredible.
Amazing.
You had mentioned the distance skated. The thing about Cooch is that he always has to have the puck on this team. Like, I think in years past, he could kind of ease back a little bit, but he's a smart enough guy to realize that this is not the same team of previous years, and he's going to have to take a step forward. He always is on the ice. He always has the puck, and it never seems like he's tired, which is insane, because in previous years, he has played as someone who has been – he has that top-edge speed, but he plays slow. He dictates the pace of how the game is going to go. This year – yeah, he's just like throwing all that to the wind and saying, I don't care. Like, I'm going to enter the zone the way I want to. I'm going to do the crazy, put the puck behind me and then cycle it around to the front while moving my stick around. I don't even know what you call that move. I'm going to do that in order to get around people and create space. I'm going to get lost in the defense like he did on the second goal against Philly, where nobody covered him. He also almost missed the net. But no one covered him. How does that happen? It was very Alex Ovechkin-like, where you kind of just forget that he exists for a little bit until he scores. Really, really happy with the way that Cooch is playing. Part of me wishes that he would skip the All-Star game because he needs a rest. And then I realized that the NHL hands out suspensions for missing the All-Star game. So, all right, we'll see you in Toronto, Kucherov, unfortunately.
He will get a break coming up here for the Lightning, because they've got – we're going to talk about their upcoming schedule, but they got two more games, and then they have 10 days off. Now, granted, four of those are for the All-Star game, so Kucherov will be out there in Toronto, but the Lightning do have another long break again. Now, there are a couple of other teams that also have this four-day break, so he will have some time off. That is the good news for Nikita Kucherov, and the All-Star game is very slow, not fast-paced, not the kind of game that they've been playing. So good news there for Kucherov and the rest side, but man, is he just so good. And we should have known, man. You know, he took, what, a week off after the playoffs last year and then was out there every single day working, I believe is what they say. This guy, he's a man on a mission this year, and it is unbelievable to watch. Who knows where he's going to end up at the end of the season. So let's take a look at that upcoming schedule for the Lightning. They're going to be taking on, they got two home games before their long break here. Going to be taking on the Arizona Coyotes at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern at Amalie Arena. That is going to be on Thursday. And then on Saturday, they'll take on the New Jersey Devils at 7 p.m. Eastern as well. And then that 10-day break that I mentioned, 4 days where there's still hockey going on. And then the other 5 days, I believe it is for the All-Star break where there is no hockey coming up. So long break for the Lightning, but some two big games at home. If the Lightning can stay hot and continue to try their fight their way back into a decent spot when it comes to the playoff standings. Joe, when you look at this schedule, how you feeling for the Bolts coming up here?
Well, the Coyotes and the Devils aren't playing terrible hockey. In the last 10, looks like the Devils are sitting at 5-4-1. So they have taken a little bit of a skid, but
they've had a couple of rough games.
Yeah, if the Lightning are going to not be one of the top three in the division, they're obviously going to be looking at a wild card spot. And the Devils are one of the teams that are right there with them. So that's a big game where there could be, again, another 4-point swing. It was hard giving up those that sort of a swing to the Red Wings. The one against Arizona, I'm trying to see real quick, and it looks like they do have the back-to-back where they have Florida first. So hopefully you get a little bit of a tired Coyotes team and make that an easier game for the Lightning. Sometimes that works out, sometimes that doesn't, but you know, hopefully that's an easy 2 points for the Lightning, and then you know that Devils game's gonna be where it's at.
Yeah, the Coyotes have actually been a surprise this year to a lot of people, and the Lightning have played them already. Granted, they did play them in Arizona, and they lost. Like, you can't take a night off against this team, which I think the Lightning know that they cannot take any more nights off. So, you know, expect them to bring their best. Arizona, surprisingly, because when you look at their defense, it's not great on paper. They're in the top half of the league in goals against per game at 2.93, which is way less than the Lightning do have. The Lightning are obviously better at scoring goals. Arizona, underratedly, the second worst faceoff team in the league. So if there's ever a day for Nick Paul and Steven Stamkos and Luke Glendening to just win a bunch of faceoffs, get the Lightning puck possession, and sort of dictate how the game is going to go, it's going to be that one tomorrow, especially against a, like Joe mentioned, tired Coyotes team because they're playing the Panthers today. New Jersey, they're actually not playing very well recently. I would expect the Lightning to actually win both of these games, which is not something that I don't think I've said since I've done these like appearances on the show. But like, they should win both of these games with the way that they've been playing and the way their opponents have been sort of middling recently.
Do we know if New Jersey still has the same number of injuries? Do either of you guys have an idea on that?
Jack Hughes is still out. So that's the engine of their team.
I'm going to try and pull it up quickly here on a Cap Friendly. I don't know off the top of my head, but either way, like you said, Michael, that they've got a couple of one of the big names still out. So, listen, the Lightning are playing. Go ahead.
I was going to say on their page on NHL.com, it says that Pally's returning to practice, which doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be in game shape. But if he's in practice now, by the time the Lightning's game against them comes around, he might be.
So pulling up their injured reserve here on Cap Friendly, they still have Dougie Hamilton. They still have three players on injured reserve and one player on long-term injured reserve. I actually don't even see Palat on any of the long-term injured reserve, so maybe he is coming back relatively soon. So it still looks like they're a little banged up, but maybe not as much as they were earlier in the season here. So this could be a little bit of a different Devils team soon.
Yeah, we didn't play against Palat in the first meeting, which was it 2 weeks ago at this point? Lightning won 4-3. You know what that means, though, is that Palat is definitely scoring in that game. So cannot wait for that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully not, and the Lightning can continue their hot winning streak. One more thing before we wrap it up. Well, you know, obviously we got Gasper. Unfortunately, the Lightning are actually playing on Gasparilla, which is a little bit of a bummer, I think. Well, you know, have a nice party before the game and then be able to watch them after that. But looking ahead to the All-Star game, which we'll talk more about next week, where do we think Nikita Kucherov is going to get an opportunity to play? What game do you guys think he might play in this one? Because honestly, I'm not really sure. They have the NHL passing challenge or the NHL one-timers, but Kucherov has been all over the place this year. So what would you guys think he's going to participate in?
That's a good one. Have they started to announce the skills?
I was looking for that. I believe some of the voting they did, you could actually pick players to participate in one specific challenge. I didn't pay too much attention to it because the Lightning, there were no Lightning players you could put in. But they haven't announced anything officially on who's doing what yet.
I mean, anything that involves passing or getting the puck with somewhere with precision, I'm all for Cooch doing. But really, his special skill is all in his vision and his ability to anticipate play. They had something interactive that would be kind of neat. Maybe the little snowman flying through the rink on skates, and he got to navigate the puck through them.
Actually,
all.
It's funny you mentioned that. They do have an obstacle course supposedly that they're having this year. So I don't know what that is, but maybe that's something he could show off his vision in.
It might be similar to the NBA skills challenge, where they had to do like passing and then a layup and a three-pointer and things like that. It might be similar to that, but again, we won't know until we see it. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I don't think Nikita Kucherov cares. Like,
no,
he's there for the break. He's there for just chilling. I remember when he was he was in the accuracy challenge. I went to the one in Tampa, and he was in the accuracy challenge. I think he finished last because he just didn't care. So, you know, again, not to be the bearer of bad news, whatever he does, I hope he wins. I hope he gets the extra paycheck or whatever it is. And whatever team he's on, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch 3-on-3. But again, it really depends on what Nikita Kucherov you're getting. And I don't think you're going to get one that's very engaged.
Well, make sure you like and subscribe and follow us on social media at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Lightning. So hopefully next week we'll have some more official news on how that All-Star game is going to look like. Of course, we'll recap the last two games and we'll look ahead to that coming up in next week's episode. So guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, have a great net as we get ready for that on Saturday. We'll talk to you guys next time. Okay.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.